That is correct. Yes. Yes.
Welcome back to What's All That About? A podcast where two cheeky chaps chat candidly about stuff. My name is Kelso, one of the aforementioned cheeky chaps. And with me, as always, is my dear longtime mate, much lauded lip syncer and co-host, Cohen. G'day, Cohen.
Kelso, always a pleasure to hear you. Kelso, always a oh my God.
Are you even ready? Do you even podcast?
I switched my intro around and it's not quite, it hasn't quite settled. Hang on, I'll try one more time. Kelso,
Well, thank you so much for that welcome, Kerwin. I feel so welcome. No, I'd like to help you. I'd like to ask you, we're all mixed up today, dear listener. What's going on?
I don't know.
I'd like to ask you, because I feel so welcome, if you wouldn't mind keeping your ear out for my Amazon delivery, which might be turning up during the recording of the show.
Ring, ring.
And scene. No, it's important I get this. I've ordered a beard trimmer.
A beard trimmer, right, okay.
Now, you and the dear listener might be asking, why would Kelso of the podcast need a beard trimmer?
Yes, why? Why?
It's mainly for my eyebrows and my pubes.
Right. I was going to say, regular listeners to the podcast would know that you don't have much facial hair, so that's what we're all scratching our heads about.
Why I felt like I had to explain myself.
Well, you could use it on the pube hair. I mean, still, technically, you've got a facial hair, just not enough for a thick, lustrous beard.
Mm. Actually, I went for a haircut yesterday, and I go to a local barber, and I think they're guys from Kurdistan, where I think they'd like to spend a lot of attention on the haircut.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. It's only a 10-pound haircut. But when you get in that chair, they put a lot of time and attention into you. And they're cutting around the edges and making the squares 90 degrees. Not 99 degrees or 89 degrees, 90 degrees.
Right. Do they burn off your ear hair with a candle?
Luckily, no.
No, but, right.
I would have said, no. Come on, mate. talking about being slightly embarrassed and using on your face. So he was giving me the old touch-up, doing my ears and all that sort of business, and a touch-up, which was nice to not have to pay for that. And then he gets out that tiny little trimmer to get all the little bits of hair to make those 90-degree angles. Yeah. And then he was doing around my ears and then top of my ears and making sure that was all sweet. And then he started, like, creeping inside to my face where I haven't done a very good job of shaving because my hair doesn't really grow up near my ears or onto my cheeks. And he started like picking off all these hairs on my cheek and get like halfway to my nose. It was dead embarrassing.
Like, what do you mean picking them off as in tweezering them?
No. He's got that, a very small little trimmer.
Oh, right.
Yeah, for detail. But I just felt embarrassed. I was like, I know I don't do a good job there. It's the weekend. Oh.
Well, some of us that have more hirsute jawline might know that you do sometimes get hairs on your cheekbone. And as you know, Kelso, I have very high cheekbones.
That's where he was treating me.
Right. Well, thing is, you've got to make a decision when you deal with hair up there because you know how you shave it grows back thicker. Only on the hairs that you don't want.
So he's doing me a disservice.
No, not really, because I made the decision that, I'm just going to have to shave it. I don't care if my beard goes almost underneath my eyes. It's just, I'm just not going to be one of those guys that doesn't shave there. It's like they're trying to make a point. And so sometimes you get this, like, you see these guys that have shaved up to the top of their cheek, but then leave this tiny little, this sort of white, fluffy hair, but sort of like the kind of hair that, like a 13-year-old boy might have in their chin, sort of pre-beard hair, you know? And they're refusing to shave it because it's like, no, I don't want it to grow back fuller. But the thing is that they look like a little owl. You know what I mean? There's little sort of tufts of hair underneath their eyes. You don't get it. Mostly you don't everyone, but occasionally you'll see a guy like that. You just feel like putting your arm around him and go, mate, just shave it off. You know, seriously.
And they say, well, I would have done it have you not put your arm around me. It's a little bit too personal.
It kind of looks like cheekbone tassels. It's not a good look.
You don't like cheekbone tassels?
No, I'd burn it off with a candle if it was up to me.
Right. Yeah. Yes, I think if I took a candle to my face, it would end in tragedy.
Well, we talked about this in a previous podcast. So you do get ear hair as you get older, you know.
Ooh,
and it's sometimes hard to keep up with. Mm-hmm. The other day, like based on last week, based on this, you know, knowing that this is a bit of a Middle Eastern practice is to burn off ear hair with a candle, I took a cigarette lighter and just, you know, did a quick going over the earlobe and that little bit, you know, the little bit. That little bit. I sort of took a thing to that, and you know when you're doing a good job because you hear like a. And then you smell burnt hair.
Crackle.
Yeah, crackles. It was totally crackled. So,
right. And did you do this in front of the mirror?
No. I find that when
watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Well, I find when I do sort of really intricate tweezer work in front of the mirror, because it's like the mirror, it kind of puts me off, you know what I mean? So sometimes I have to close my eyes and do it, you know? So, I don't want to go the wrong way.
You get in front of the mirror, but then you close your eyes.
Yeah. So I sort of get the lighter in position, then I close my eyes and just sort of let feel. So I let the force flow through me, because it just puts it tricks me.
These are the hairs you don't want.
Yeah, they certainly are. So anyway, needless to say, my ears are as smooth as a baby's bottom, which is more than I can say
about
my bottom.
Thank you, Blackadder. Now. Yeah, I freaked myself out one day when I was just like, you know, fumble with your face sometimes when you're thinking about the meaning of life.
Yeah.
And I found I had these particularly long hairs coming out of my ear. And I went, oh, my goodness, I've crossed some sort of threshold. I've now got ear hair I never realized before. And I was pulling it. I'm like, what's going on? Got in front of the mirror and realized it was a long hair, but it emanated from just outside my ear hole. So it made me feel a little bit easier.
So it was still on your ear, though?
It was right on the bit, but just outside the ear, right on the little, you know, that little bit.
I know that little bit, yeah. So, but sort of, would you say it was in the realms of the sideburn?
No, it was still on that little bit. You know that little bit?
I do know that little bit, yeah.
It was on that little bit. It wasn't, I don't think you could technically call it sideburn hair.
Right, so it was like a no man's land there.
Yeah, but if it had been in like a centimetre over and in the ear hole, I would have freaked out.
Well,
would have been justified.
Well, I have one ear hair, and look, I'll only share this with close friends.
And the dear listener.
Yeah, obviously.
Who are dear friends?
Most of the ear hair is white, you know, like white, you know, it's not too bad, but you do get the occasional one that has sort of, it's a little bit more aggressive, you know what I mean? Maybe it takes on a bit of colour. So I've got
shoves the other ear hairs, being aggressive.
Yeah, pretty much. It is actually at the top of my ear. So, you know, quite literally the top of the
upper edge of them.
Yeah, but I have one on my other ear that's kind of in the just in the inside bit of the ear. You know, the fleshy bit that looks like half a dried apricot. You know that bit?
I know that bit.
That bit, yeah. So I've got one that's like, it's not really dark, but it's really, really super curly. I mean, tight. A tight curl. It looks like an old telephone wire. You know what I mean? The telephone receiver.
I know what you mean.
That wire. Yeah. So you have to stay on top of that one because it looks like I'm like my ear looks like a Hasidic Jew. If you let it grow too long, you don't want that.
Maybe you're half Hasidic Jew. That's why it's only in one ear.
I wish.
Now, if it was a ear hair, which is knotted up like an old telephone cord, as you said, would it almost be invisible?
No, well, it hasn't knotted up. No, it curls. It has this natural curl. So it's not knotted. It's sort of like, I don't mean the telephone wire. I mean the bit from the receiver to the phone, like the curly, the coiled wire. You know what I mean?
Right, okay.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know what to do
it's
with
weird.
It.
Has it been brought up during dates?
No, I usually stay on top of it. One thing I do when I go on a date is make sure I do I get out the cigarette lighter. Pretty much. Get rid of all. Yeah, ear hair, especially when you have no hair. Ear hair is a lot more visible, especially if you go on a date, you know, with the sun. You know, the sun really, is not your friend. It's not a hairy-eared man's friend. Really highlights it.
You've, You've been on a date with the sun?
Well, you know, when you go on a day date, like ear
a day
hair,
date.
Yeah, ear hair is a lot more visible. I kind of look like Bonnie Tyler, the Total Eclipse of the Heart film clip, you know, with the light behind me and her hair, you can see it all, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like saying, turn around.
Turn around, I just want to pull that ear hair out. It's annoying me.
All right, good, let's get on with this date. Goodness.
Right, now that we've got that out of the way.
You really should put that on your profile.
No ear hair?
Limited air hair.
Well, the thing is, after I get to know them, I get a little more comfortable with her, maybe I will let the ear hair sort of grow a bit more.
No. Once you get comfortable, you can assign that duty to her. And obviously you adopt reciprocal duties, like looking for if she's got a hair that grows out of her chin, you can keep going that. But, then you can clock off and just allow her to manage it.
Yeah, I don't really do that. I don't let girls deal with any kind of pimples or hairs or anything like that. That's my domain.
Oh, so you've never let a girl squeeze the blackheads on the back, on your back when you're a teenager?
No. And believe me, and hairs especially, if they see a hair, like, let me get it. I'm like, no. I shall go into the bathroom, have a bit of private time, and deal with it myself.
Can I borrow your lighter?
No, I actually have a really good pair of tweezers. I found that in every man of a certain age's bathroom cabinet, you should have a good pair of tweezers.
They should, but not every man of a certain age does.
Well, they should. That's my tips on how to get chicks. Tweezers.
Straight eye for the straight guy.
Yeah.
No, actually, it's a straight eye for the guy.
For the guy, yeah. That's me.
Yeah. So when you're looking, when you're on Amazon looking for that pair of tweezers, because you've just turned a certain age, what would the dear listener be looking for?
Well, this is, I know this, because a former partner of mine was a very good tweezer selector. You actually pick them up and you squeeze them together and there should be no gap. That should be completely flush. But you got to pay money. You get what you pay for in the world of tweezers. I'm surprised that your pube shaver didn't come with a free set of tweezers or something when they turned up.
Well, I did go kind of cheap. I went for a £20 option, but it had 4.5 stars on Amazon, so that was pretty good.
One of the reviews say great for your pubes, and you went, yeah, but I'm going to get them.
That's it. I need that. No, the thing is, one or two low reviews saying it wasn't strong enough, but then, of course, you know, I don't have much hair, so it doesn't need to be strong.
Yeah, you're wispy.
I'm very wispy.
You're not like a Mediterranean-style thick sort of hair. You
know? I'm the reverse of the Mediterranean style, and the reverse of the Mediterranean is... There should be a joke in there somewhere, but...
I don't know what there is.
I guess you shoot through on the other side of the earth, carry the two.
We have to get Bugs Bunny to dig a hole from the Mediterranean, see where he comes out. Usually China, you know? Sure, it's always China.
All holes lead to China, apparently.
Yeah, and some kind of little racist epitaph that goes... Yes.
I'm not sure that's racist, it's just an easy joke.
Well, you didn't see the guy from China on the other end of that hole.
That's when it became racist. The hole wasn't racist. The hole coming out in China wasn't racist.
No, but it was the artist's rendering of what that might look like was very, very racist.
What do you think that might look like? Let me render it.
It looked a lot like Mickey Rooney from Breakfast at Tiffany's, dressed as that guy. Oh,
yes, that is certifiably racist.
That bad, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've not even seen the movie. I know that's racist.
God rest his racist soul. Yeah.
Now, I believe some of the early editions of Tintin from Hergé had some racist depictions of Chinese people.
Yeah, I've got it here. Tintin and the Blue Lotus. Yeah, very much
right,
so.
You've just actually got it on your coffee table at this very moment.
Well, not in my hands. It's in my my comic book box.
I like to think on your coffee table, because you're a sophisticated gentleman, single gentleman of a certain age, you've got like a selection of coffee table reading to tell would-be lady friends kind of your likes and dislikes. So you've got your Tintin magazine.
Well, I wonder what a prospective lady friend would make coming over to my house, and on my coffee table were all 30 issues of Tintin stacked on my coffee table.
No, I didn't mean your whole, the whole back catalogue. I meant just one.
I just have one example. Line,
your favourite. Probably the one with that rocket on the front.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Destination Moon. Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah.
So if I give you the task, date, lovely ladies coming around, first date, you want to impress her, what have you got on the coffee table?
Well, if I'm really trying to impress them, nothing. Because it's a glass-topped coffee table, and it's just like a big round piece of glass.
Kinky.
That I would have... Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Kinky.
Yeah. we'll use that later.
But I'm not sit on that.
No, exactly. Don't eat off it.
Too late. No. So, first of all, you'd go and buy a different coffee table. Then you would adorn it with...
Oh, look, if I was trying to impress someone with my magazine collection, I'd probably get a Men's Health magazine, you know, to show I care about myself and, you know.
Who's on the cover?
Doesn't matter. It's the same issue. Every month is the same issue. It's the same thing. I don't know if you've ever bought Men's Health magazine more than once or even once.
I'm pretty sure it's written by robots.
It is, basically. It's the same thing. They just shift the articles around in a different order, and instead of, it'll just have a different celebrity each week. So, yeah. It's a good read. I never did get those abs, though.
Did you send away for them? Maybe you weren't listening, recording a podcast that turned up, delivered to the next door neighbours. No abs for Kerwin.
Well, I sort of maybe bought about 10 issues of Men's Health magazine, and each one was the one that said, get abs fast, you know. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I need. I need abs, and I need them fast. Here's my $10.
You had to send away for it, though. Took out a coupon.
Yeah, still
send it off to somewhere in Piscataway, New Jersey, and they'll send you your abs.
Still waiting for the guy from Amazon to knock on my door with my abs. He got lost in the mail.
They deliver it as payment plan, obviously. One ab per month.
Yeah. See, the first ab is cheap, but then all the rest, that gets really expensive. That's how they get you. The next five are, you know, like, very expensive.
Oh, man.
But really, like, I can tell you that these ab things that I bought 10 issues of that magazine for, to my surprise, it was the same thing every time. Just eat healthily and exercise. I was like, oh, you already knew that.
I should have just subscribed to Common Sense magazine.
Yeah, very much. I never did, though.
Who would be on the front of Common Sense magazine, do you think?
Not me. I'd probably be in the fold-in at the back. I'd be the Common Sense fold-in. I'd be the joke, like a mad fold-in. I'd be like...
Yeah, it looks like you to start with, but when you fold it in, it's actually Larry David.
Yeah, well, it sort of fold downwards to get rid of my flab, you know.
Has Larry David got Common Sense?
I think so. He seems to have done well for himself, hasn't he?
Who's the celeb with the most Common Sense?
That's a good one. I'd say...
Bill Oddie?
Nah. If want a serious answer to that question, I'd have to say George Clooney.
Yeah, he's got Common Sense.
He seems to be pretty smart. His wife's super beautiful and very intelligent, and gives a shit. That always helps. The silver-haired fox, George Clooney. I bet he's been on the cover of Men's Health once or twice. I'm sure he has.
Not in the fold-in.
No. I'd send away for George Clooney's abs.
Yeah. Get in quick. You might be able to buy them off Gwyneth Paltrow's website.
You know, actually, check that out. It is as nutty as it sounds. It's pretty nutty.
It sounds pretty nutty.
Yeah, I sort of did some reading about that jade egg that all these women are putting up their vaginas.
Right.
But it turns out it's giving them some kind of toxic shock syndrome, like it's a cheap tampon or something. Not good.
Well, I was thinking of changing my name to Jade Egg, so that women would stick me up their vaginas, but I always would also cause a toxic shock.
Sounds like an Asian porn star, Jade Egg.
Sounds like... If it not, it should be. I'm afraid that was a bit of a toxic joke to stick in your ear hole, dear listener. I do apologise.
Dear, pull it out immediately. Wish that joke had a little string on it.
Right, so I'm determined to finish this off. On your, you've got a big date.
Yeah.
On your coffee table, you've got a Tintin, a Men's Health with George Clooney on the front, obviously. You've got the latest edition of Common Sense magazine.
Yeah.
One more item. I'm going to guess it's your sketchbook. Just like you've left it open, and then you put a pencil on it.
Yeah, you know what, Kelsey, you've actually got me there. I have accidentally, with air quotes, I'm doing air quotes,
right,
accidentally left my sketchbook lying around. Oh, what, this? I haven't done a sketch in 5 years, but sure, yeah, it's just always out, you know.
Do you know how to pose as one of those French girls?
Yeah. Do you want to know what's actually on my coffee table right now? You've heard the fantasy.
Well, let me guess.
No. Okay, well, what if you're right?
Underpants.
No, hey, no. It's
underpants, pizza box, and cigarette butts.
Well, I got you got the last one right. But the first one, I'll have you know my underpants are underneath the coffee table.
That's a sensible move. Any common bachelor. Common sense bachelor. You have been reading Common Sense magazine.
I'll tell you what,
underpants underneath the coffee table. Even though it's a glass coffee table, you can still see them.
That's true. I didn't think about that. Need some kind of tablecloth. Anyway, so what is... Because sort of, you know how you joked about my sketchbook earlier, lying around to impress the ladies? I have a similar item that's actually on my coffee table to do a similar thing. It's the sort of manila folio that I got from... Manila, sort of. It's not really manila, though. It's a folio from the gym I just joined up. It's just
right.
Sort of lying around, you know. So it's just sort of sitting there. It's been sitting there for about 3 weeks.
It's got dust on it.
I don't need it. It's just got a couple of, like, you know, safety.
Be careful. In a couple of years, it will say, you'll notice on the cover, it says, great deals this autumn 2015. I don't know. Is that a date?
So this is what is on my coffee table. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
There's that pamphlety folio thing from the gym, right?
Mm.
Box of tissues. For what they were, what their initial purpose is, not what you're
thinking. Their unrude purpose.
Yeah, not rude. Some dental floss.
Ooh.
In the thing, not just a piece of dental floss, I thought you went, ugh, as in gross.
Well, it's kind of weird.
Well, it's a bit weird, but I like the floss. What can I say? I'm just looking around. I have a finger exerciser.
Very important for the single man.
Yeah, well, yeah, the guitar player sort of.
Who likes to please, pleasing ladies. No, yeah,
well,
my mind's in the gutter
again.
It does
help, I guess. It's
it helps with fingering both.
Yeah, it is good. It keeps your hands strong and supple. And another thing is, I have this ball that you use to knead your muscles. You know what I mean? Have you seen those things?
It used to.
It's like a spiky rubber ball that you use to, if you've got like tight glutes, you can.
I thought you said it used to need your muscles, and then I figured just got lazy and complacent in the relationship and wasn't doing that anymore.
Used to now. Well, it kind of isn't. No, I had a sore glute, so I thought I'd give it a bit of a pounding with this spiky rubber ball.
Right. Yeah. Kinky.
It works.
Mr. Gray.
It works. So that's what's on my coffee table. And a whole lot of grime. Don't forget that. Dust and grime.
Yeah, bits of food down the edges where the glass hits the frame.
Yeah, I haven't entertained anyone here for about a week and a half, so there's about a week and a half's worth of
grime. I heard from a little birdie that the last person that was there wasn't entertained either.
Not true, dear listener. I just thought I'd just put that out there.
I read the Yelp review. Dead boring, 2 stars. Ooh.
What was that?
My computer just made it. Oh, my printer, which I don't have anymore, wanted to tell me it wants to update itself.
It sounded like someone you live with walked into your bedroom and played a note on the harmonica.
Yeah. Or farted into a harmonica. Went through the old broken speakers on the laptop, and it's a bit... broken. Now, the microphone's good to pick that up, eh?
Yeah, that's good. Excellent microphone. Well purchased. Off Amazon. We should maybe get in a partnership with Amazon.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure anyone can sign up for one of those things where you click through, but,
Yeah. Whatever. Okay, so we're not going to help out Jeff Bezos.
I mean, dear listener, is probably very much like you and I. I can't even be bothered to clean the grime off the coffee table.
No.
Or remove the underpants indeed from underneath the coffee table.
Well, the thing is with a glass top coffee table, it doesn't take much for the grime to show up. You know, I'm forever cleaning that thing. It's you know, the only reason I have it is because it used to belong to my parents. I grew up with it. And my parents were going to throw it away. No. I thought, no, I want it. Let's not get the glass top coffee table out of our lives, out of our family's lives.
I didn't know you were so sentimental.
Well, when it comes to glass top coffee tables, apparently, nothing else.
Makes sense.
Yeah, no, well, it's not the original glass. The original glass smashed 20 years ago. And
it
then
perished.
And then I had it, and about 2 years ago, I drunkenly tripped over the corner of my couch and then crashed into it. And completely destroyed it. I woke up drunkenly in a pile of broken glass, and it was a miracle I wasn't dead. But
did you wake up kind of cradled in the coffee table? Is that what you mean?
No. Well, the thing is, I just smashed straight through it. Yeah. So it was completely. It didn't crack it. It shattered. And the thing is, I woke up without a scratch on me. I was like Bruce Willis in Unbreakable. It was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. So I checked everything, and I was like, not even a tiny little scratch. And I'm talking shards of glass everywhere. In fact, this is how good my friend is. He actually came round, because I sometimes don't leave my front door locked.
You've got another friend?
Yeah, I've got another friend. Sorry to break it to you. Yeah, this is how good a friend he is of mine. He came round, because he left his bag at my place. He came round, saw me lying in a pile of glass, picked up his bag,
What's
and then like,
he done this time?
And then hours later, I texted him and went, "Hey man, did you come around last night? I saw your bags out here." He's like, "Yeah, I came. I saw you lying in a pile of glass." So I was like, "What was with that?" "Yeah, thanks for checking to see if I was okay." You know, he goes, "I didn't see any blood, so I thought you were okay." I'm like, "Oh, Jesus Christ!" Anyways, there you go. Thank you for being a friend.
Hey, if it'd been mean, I would have got out one of those little dustpan and brushes and been doing forensic removal of the glass without waking you up or touching your balls.
Oh, look, you know, I was picking glass out of my feet for weeks after that. It doesn't matter how many times I vacuumed the carpet. It was, not my finest moment, but anyway, I got it replaced with much, much thicker glass, so that's not going to happen again.
Yeah, you have to get even drunker to do that next time.
I'll have to, like, dive bomb, like, into a swimming pool to break this one, you know. Like, Olly, olly, oxen free!
Kerwin, stag nights, what's all that about?
Well, we call them a buck's night here, so it's a different, they're still deers.
Yeah, stag night might be a UK term.
It might be actually. Yeah, I think buck's night is a Australasian term, perhaps American.
No, American is bachelor party, isn't it?
Oh, right. So maybe buck's night is just Australian. Could be. Yeah.
I just slipped in a South Londonism there. I said, "Isn't it?"
South London, right? Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Short for "Isn't it?"
Thanks for the translation.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I've had one. I know you haven't, but I've had one.
Oh, yes, and I believe I've forgotten all about that, actually.
You were my best man, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you did arrange that.
Yeah, we might have talked about this briefly, but maybe worth revisiting.
Well, yeah, my Bucks night was ruined, as you might recall, by my sister's boyfriend at the time.
Oh, all right.
Who I didn't really like, and none of my family got along with, and I didn't even think to invite him on the Bucks night, but I got a call on the day saying, "Oh, you have to invite him." I'm like, "Oh, what? All right, fine." So I did, and remember, he ruined the whole night. I actually, at one point, towards the end of the night, I had to sort of leave him, but, it was a bit weird, but it wasn't the best Bucks night. Nothing to do with you, of course. Yeah, we had a bit of a
I actually developed a toothache, which it resulted in me getting my wisdom teeth out a couple of days later. And I was getting this pain in my mouth going on. I thought, "Oh, no, this is not good." Like in my teeth.
Mm.
And so I thought, "I'll have a couple of extra drinks." I got so drunk, I went home before we went to a strip club.
Right.
Which was probably just as well.
No, well, that's actually ended up being, you know, I know we're veering off. Well, no, it is still under the banner of Bucks Nights. I had the best lap dance of my life that night.
Right.
And
even better than that one I gave you once.
Yeah, well, it was a close second.
Well,
you had all the booze.
I tried to do it like one of those French girls.
You were the first man I ever saw twerk. It was quite exciting.
I did the first twerk you ever saw.
You were crumping. So, yeah, no, I still remember her name was Honey. I don't think that was her real name.
Probably not. Probably
she was from LA. She was from California. And she was,
they know how to crump.
She was stripping her way through Australia. And so
one state at a time.
So she was informed that it was my Bucks night, so she decided to give me the VIP blue ribbon 5-star treatment.
Crikey.
Which is very nice. Yeah. So as a result, every time I go to a strip club and get a lap dance, I tell them it's my Bucks night.
Yeah. And at the end of the night, when they tote up your how much you owe, they say, the VIP treatment, cha-ching. The 5-star treatment, cha-ching. The blue ribbon package, cha-ching.
Although I think I did pay for my own lap dance that night, which kind of doesn't really quite have the same sort of Bucks Night feel to it, but still it was worth it. But yeah, so mine wasn't a great success. I know we've talked in a previous podcast about ones you've been on. What is the deal with stag nights? We'll call it a stag night, just so.
Let's call it a stag night.
We'll use your
I think they're getting out of control.
Oh, okay.
Right, because it used to be, you know, one evening, 6 hours in the night, you know, not much planning required. You just go and do something, and that's over and done with. Nowadays, people want to take a trip to Spain, or everyone has to go to Bali, or...
Oh, that's outrageous.
That place in Mexico. You know that place in Mexico?
I think I do.
What's it called?
Mexico City?
No, don't go there.
Oh, Cancun?
Tijuana.
Tijuana.
Or Cancun.
Cool. Right. Tijuana. Right.
Tijuana, or of course, my favorite, Acapulco.
Now, I went at a Bucks Night with a mutual friend of ours. He wasn't the coolest guy, I would have to say.
I know that guy.
Yeah, I think you know who I'm referring to. He was a bit of an overreacher, would be a polite way to describe him, do you think?
Except when it came to reaching for the bill. What did he do?
Well, he didn't have a Bucks night. He had a Bucks morning, a Bucks afternoon, followed by a Bucks night.
It was his Bucks party.
Yeah, it was his, and I was not only was I invited, my presence was demanded. I think he pleaded with me, because this was his itinerary. Okay, so he wanted 18 holes of golf that started at 8 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
18 holes.
8 a.m.
8 a.m. Because that's when you start playing golf, right? And then we were having a big lunch, and then we were going out, right? So I kind of said, oh, look.
The two things I will never do before going out is play 18 holes of golf and then a big lunch.
Well, he divided this mammoth, this thing into three acts, you know. And I said, look, I can't do that. It's just, you know.
I can consider two acts, three acts, I'm gone.
So this is what we negotiated in the end, because I like golf. So I went and played 18 holes, then I went home for a sleep. So I skipped the lunch section, and then I came back.
I thought you were going to say you negotiated down the 18 holes, the big lunch, and going out to a round of mini golf, a snack, and watching a movie.
And two drinks, yeah. No, it was, so I do recall, as soon as we got to this is one of the customs. Now we can explore this a little more. Maybe you've got a story of your own. But usually one of the customs of a Bucks night these days, and probably has been for a while, is that you dress up the buck in something embarrassing, give him some kind of a costume that they have to get around in, you know. Like, you know, so the hen's night, the female version of it, they usually give him a crown and a sash and maybe some kind of plastic penises and some kind of, there's at least two or three phallic objects on their person. So that's their sort of thing that they do.
Especially late night in the nightclub.
I'm usually getting whacked in the face with one. Anyway, so the costume that was given to our mutual friend was a very offensive, stereotypical Scotsman outfit.
Oh, right.
So a kilt. And one of those sort of beret kind of cap things that have the red hair sort of sewn into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's actually a word for that cap.
Okay. Are we going to Google some shit?
I think we're Googling shit. Scotsman's.
Or Google shite. It's Google shite whenever we Google anything to do with Bonnie or Scotland.
A tam.
Okay, I've not heard that before. Mm. So, well, he had a tam with some red hair sewn into it, which he gladly put on. You know, some they sort of have to be talked into it. Oh, come on, guys! Okay, fine. He was like, "Print, give it to me." He couldn't get that kilt on quick enough.
If it's the guy I'm thinking of, I reckon he probably planned it himself and like he like gave it to someone. You just right, so like. Half an hour in, you give this to me.
Gave him a little wink.
I was surprised that he didn't give it to you to give it to him.
I probably would have went, no, you're not wearing that, man. No way.
You need to burn it.
So he played 18 holes of golf dressed as this Scotsman, which, when I think about it, it's slightly appropriate, I guess, you know.
Historically accurate.
Yeah. So, and I thought, yeah, that's cool. So anyway, so I went home, watched a movie, fell asleep. Forgot all about the morning, and then rolled up to the dinner section of the evening about, I don't know, 7:30. He's still wearing it. Wearing the Scotsman outfit.
You skipped the golf?
No, I did the golf. The golf was the bit I wanted to do. I just thought, okay, I thought I was given, like I said, the three acts. So I had the golf, the lunch.
You skipped the big lunch.
Yeah, so that's the thing. So I was given these three things. I'm thinking, you know, I could just skip the golf and do the lunch and dinner, but then I thought that just makes it one long evening, you know what I mean? So I thought, golf? Mm. I like golf. I'll do the golf, and then I'll go home and sort of, I'll have a break, you know what I mean? So I can sort of recharge myself and then come back in all, you know, firing all cylinders, because I knew that he kind of marked me as the fun time guy. Compared to all
number
these,
one party guy.
Yeah, well, compared to all these nerdy friends, I was the fun guy, and he was basically telling us, "Oh, look out for this guy!" You know, so I kind of realized I had to go home, you know, rest up and get in character for when, you know, do a bit of getting my Van Wilder mode when I went back and joined them. So I go back and join these guys, and they're having a very, very quiet dinner. And he, like I said, he's still dressed in the costume. Like some people dress up in costume, and over the course of the day, sort of items of that costume get removed and lost. He was still really, yeah. He had no intention. If anything, I think a sporran came out of nowhere. He added to it.
He'd secreted extra items around town as the
an emergency Scottish costume delivery on the 10th hole. Anyway, so yeah, I got there but everyone had been drinking the whole day, so everyone's ready to sort of pull up, you know, and it ended up being just me and him.
Backfire.
Yeah, totally backfired. So it was me and him at about 10 o'clock at night at a strip club, me being me, and with this guy dressed as a Scotsman. Now, if you're in a bucks party, you know, there's usually about, I don't know, 10 guys, I guess, and one guy is dressed like an idiot. When is this one guy dressed like an idiot and you're with him, you know, all the girls,
there's nowhere to hide.
All the girls are coming up and going, so what's up with the clothes? I'm like, oh, it's his bucks night. And they were like literally looking around going, where's everyone else? So that was my...
Well, if you knew him, you'd understand.
Yeah, exactly. So, again, like, I'm pretty sure he slept in that Scotsman's outfit that night. Best thing ever. So, I think even in a previous podcast, you were telling me about how you went on a Bucks night, and it started at a gay club or a gay pub or something like that.
Yeah, that was just recent.
Yeah. So, have you been on any others?
Yes, recently, our very good friend, unfortunately couldn't make it, got married in America.
Oh.
And we had a smallish bucks night. There was only about seven or eight of us, I think. And it was arranged by another chap. And all of a sudden, I found myself sitting in a limousine as we drove across the Brooklyn Bridge, looking out of the window of the limousine to see the Manhattan skyline on the way to a strip club. It was like I'd been dropped into a Van Wilder movie.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. Did it play out like that, though, I wonder?
Not really, but the only other remarkable thing is when we went to the strip club, we had a booth assigned to us, and instead of buying drinks, the guy had ordered like two bottles of Irish whiskey that were just sitting on the table, full bottles of Irish whiskey in glasses. Help yourself.
Bottle service. Nice.
No, yeah. That wasn't even service. It was just, you know, like, here you guys, a couple of bottles. Probably cost him like $500 each or something.
Right. Okay, just enjoy. All right. That's how they do it over there. Yeah. That doesn't happen here. People can't be trusted with that.
I know. I don't think we should have been either. But we were respectful. We were gentlemen of a certain age. But I did find myself casting round for someone to pretend to be their bodyguard for.
That's a reference, dear listener, to a much, much previous podcast. Go back and have a listen.
I think it might have even been podcast zero, to be honest.
Oh, I don't think. Oh, but you're right. I think it's in the low digits. That's for sure. Single digit, maybe one or two. But check it out, dear listener, if you haven't heard it. It's a cracker.
If you can't find it, just tweet us at podcastkak. And we'll say, what the hell was that tweet all about?
Yeah, we'll send you the time code. We should catalogue these things. I'm starting to forget what we've talked about in previous podcasts. I'm sure a couple of times I've told a story and you've had to stop me and go, you've done that one before. Oops.
Well, the podcasts I listen to, sometimes they will rehash a story, but they never tell it the same way, so it's still enjoyable, isn't it, dear listener?
Well, I just thought of a story just then and I thought, I think I've told this one. So, I'm not sure. Stop me if you've heard it.
We're in trouble if we're double-guessing ourselves on this podcast.
I know. Yeah, we will have to catalogue. Maybe we need our own wiki page. I wonder if some devoted dear listener out there would get that happening for us. We don't want to do our own wiki page. That's a bit weird. That's wiki whack.
Don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy. Now, we are that
what
guy.
About Christian stag parties? Have you been to a Christian box night?
Oh, you know what? I have. It was wild. It was wild.
How so?
Okay. So what Christians sort of lack when it comes to strippers, right? That didn't happen. And maybe their drinking levels were kind of in the range of responsible. Let's just say that. So it wasn't out of control. It wasn't out of control. But they played a prank on this guy who actually played in a band with me. You might remember this fella.
You were going to describe the exact stag night I was hoping you would explain.
Well, you've triggered me. They tarred and feathered.
Because if you've got to cut down the strippers and you've got to cut down on the drinking, you have to up the prank game.
The pranking was off the charts.
I remember hearing this and thinking, because we were quite young, as I recall.
Thinking,
I never want to be involved in any sort of pranking on that level. That just sounds so wrong. Kerman of the podcast will now describe exactly why.
Well, look, dear listener might have picked up from listening to podcasts that I'm a bit of a goose, right? But even I was cringing. I was thinking, this is too far a couple of times, you know. What would Jesus do? A couple of times I thought to myself. So the first act, they took him down to the beach and they tarred and feathered him, which taking him to the beach was kind of a nice thing because the man can jump straight in the ocean, wash it all off. But they covered him in honey, or treacle it was, not even honey, and then threw feathers all over him.
Where did they get the feathers from?
I don't know. I guess from a craft shop, you know. What do you think they went down to, like, the local farm and chicken farm?
They go to the craft shop. We're going to need some feathers. And she pushes over a very small bag of feathers. We're going to need more than that.
We just freshly rake these out of the hen barn thingy.
Where do you get these feathers from? Well, occasionally a curlew gets murdered at the crocoseum.
Yeah, it did occur to me, like, because they were dyed blue as well. So not only were they feathers, they had gone to the trouble of dyeing them blue, and they were in a bag, so they bought them like that. So they covered him in honey, threw the things all over him, took a whole bunch of photos, and then he got to swim in the ocean.
It sounds a bit homoerotic, to be honest. Did they strip him down?
Yeah, that was in his underpants, the poor guy. You know, when someone made a comment, well, it's a bit cold. So he's like, he just humiliated, you know, this poor guy. And this is like,
did they bring an additional pair of underpants for the later festivities?
No, I don't think so. I think
he had to wear the same underpants with honey and blue feathers in them.
No, well, he washed it off, but they would have been salty and damp, for a little while at least.
My underpants are always salty and damp. So,
ding, bang!
I'm used to it.
Where's my bell? Here it is. I just like... There it is.
Nicely cobbled together.
Yeah, it quickly makes you feel. Although I feel like giving a speech now. Anyway, so they tarred and feathered the guy. His underpants must have dried off. I remember now. They did this to him in his underpants. So they blindfolded him and then took him up to a multi-story car park. And one of the guys, his friends, was an abseiler. Like one of these, you know, rock climbing abseiler guys, you know. So blindfolded, like, and not one of these lame blindfolds you can sort of see, you know, just you look down and you can see what's happening. It was like he couldn't see, right? So they tethered him to the full, you know, so like that, what do you call those things? It looked like
a pylon.
Well, it looked like a very heavy duty jock strap. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah. Like a climber's kind of a harness.
Yeah, yeah. So they put him in this, and he knew the second he had to step into this blindfolded that something bad was about to happen. Because he didn't know.
Right, they told him they were at the top of the.
No, they didn't. No, it's a veil of secrecy. So they blindfolded him, and then they put him in the car, and we all went up to the top of this multi-story car park.
Right. When he got to the top, did he know he was at the top of a car park?
No, he didn't. I mean, he must have had a fair idea he was somewhere not normal, if you know what I mean. Because it was one of those open roof sort of things, where it was on the very top of this thing. So they managed to find a wall, that, you know, it wasn't a sheer drop down to the bottom. It was just the ramp that went round the side sort of thing. So they made
him... Let me interrupt here, because the way I remember hearing the story is that he knew he was on the top of the car park. They put him in the harness and they started off on the opposite side of the car park and showed him, made him look down and said, we're going to lower you down to the ground. One of the guys was at the bottom waiting for him.
Right.
Right. Then they put the blindfold on him and like disorientated him and then moved him to the other side of the car park. So when they lowered him off the side, he was actually dropping down only one story down onto the ramp, the open ramp.
Well, it wasn't even one story. It was only like a couple of meters.
Right.
So, because the joke was that he was suspended there. So he was like dangling from this rope. And then, of course, one of the guys went, oh no! And then dropped it and he fell about like, you know, 30 centimeters to the ground. And he was petrified the whole time. Like he was protesting like, and not, oh, he wasn't having fun. There was nothing.
No, it sounds like a horrible.
It was. I know. I mean, it sounded like, weirdly enough, for a bunch of sort of Christians, it sounded very like Old Testament. You know what I mean? I was like, what did you do? Have sex with an animal or something? I think that's the punishment for that in the Old Testament. I'm just being thrown off a multi-story car park. blindfolded. So yeah, he did not like that at all. You know, in his underpants, in his salty underpants.
Yeah. I tell you what, he'd need another pair of underpants after that.
He sort of recovered, but that was hard. Because I was sort of standing back from the group, because I like this guy, you know what I mean? And all of his mates are wankers, you know, and I'm thinking, man, jeez, this is, I hope no one does this to me on my bucks, right?
Wasn't there a final act?
Oh, so you obviously have a better memory of my own story than I do.
Well, it just really struck me because it was one of those things where I was like, oh, my goodness, that sounds horrible. I'm pretty sure they dressed him as a woman, took him down, chained him up outside the local basketball arena.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Just in time for the entire crowd to, like, file out of the basketball, like 5,000 people.
That's
you know,
right.
In a relatively small town to fall out of the basketball arena to see him dressed as a woman sobbing, chained to a post outside the
That's
basketball
exactly
arena.
Exactly. And now that you remind me, they left him there.
Yeah, exactly. They weren't just hanging around laughing, going, oh, no. Stag night, it's only a prank.
Yeah, basically, yeah. This was like sort of, you know, it was one step away from putting in the stocks, you know what I mean? And that people were pecking rotten fruit at him. That was, that's all that was left to do.
Because we're in a slightly redneck kind of area, to be honest.
It was like, it's an utter humiliation and fear, like the whole thing. You know, it was like they would have cut that out of a Jackass movie. for being too much.
Far.
Yeah, that's too much, kind of that. So, this poor guy.
So that had a real effect on me. I mean, I think if you're going to have a stag night, you want good mates. Not ring-ins, you want good mates and, you know, chat about the good old times. Maybe one pair of tits, that's it.
Yeah, well, he didn't even get that, the poor guy. You know, like, I'd probably withstand a little bit of humiliation if there was going to be tits at the end.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, just for my next Bucks night, just keep that in
mind. That does lead me to ask you, what is your ideal Bucks night?
I would say now, because I've had one, I would say, I mean, this is going to sound so lame, but just sitting around having a drink with my mates, that's what a Bucks night should be. No embarrassment, no silliness, and then go to a strip club.
Yeah. My idea is someone's backyard, you get a tent, a whole bunch of hire chairs, loads of booze, a couple of pizzas, and then the cheapest stripper you can find.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the stripper to come to the Bucks night rather than go to one?
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a good thing because usually they put on a bit more of a show there because they're at sort of the liquor licensing laws and they can do a whole lot of ping pong ball stuff. So I understand. I don't know.
If you pay for that option.
Yeah, that's pretty expensive. That's the VIP service. I've never been to one of these things. I've never been to an explicit strip or nudity show. So I wonder what they're like. Maybe you have.
I've been to a sex show in Amsterdam, my friend.
Oh, put down your glasses. Tell us all about it, Kelso.
Oh, it was boring as hell.
Oh.
I think in the days prior to the internet, pornography being readily available, perhaps that was a cool thing to go to. But, it was a bit... it was like watching the internet over someone else's shoulder. And, when you think about it, those people that are doing those shows aren't really into it, and it's just like they do one show, then they go to the next club and do another show, and you're like...
But for someone that hasn't been to one, i.e. me, and whose porn tastes are rather vanilla, so what kind of stuff are we talking here?
I can't remember, to be honest. It was Amsterdam, baby.
Oh, so it was out there. Right.
It was boring. You've got to do it just to tick it off the bucket list, but don't expect your eyes to be opened, unless... Your eyes haven't been opened before, I guess.
Well, my brother went to one of those sex shows in Thailand, and he said it's everything that people say it is.
Yeah, well, that might be a little bit different.
Yeah, he said that there was a girl that could smoke a cigarette with her vagina.
Yeah, no, that's not really my thing.
Well, I mean, it's not sex.
I don't like novelty sex acts.
Oh, well, the thing is, that's what I'm talking about. You know, you want to see a sex show. You want a little bit of... I want the Harlem Globetrotters of sex shows.
That's
what I want.
Well, what's the music? How's the
music? Sweet Georgia Brown.
I do... It begs the question, what role the Washington Generals will be playing in that sex show?
The ping pong ball.
Maybe the kid.
Oh, no.
Cohen. Cover versions. What's all that about? Actually, I got blown away. My mind got blown. Mm. when I was watching the Green Hornet movie, and there's a song used where Johnny Cash is singing this wonderful song. And I just heard this song, and I very rarely hear the soundtrack when I'm watching a movie, so I'm not tuned into it. But I heard this song, it's obviously Johnny Cash. I went, that song, that sounds good. Went back to the part, looked up the song, listened to it. I thought, oh, what a classic Johnny Cash song. Amazing. Loved it. Only to find out it was written by your friend and mine, Sting. The song I'm talking about is I Hung My Head, I Hung My Head.
Well, I do know that one. I've heard it before. Well, as they say in Liverpool, I Hunged My Head by Sting.
Is he a Liverpudlian? A Scouser?
No, he's actually from Newcastle.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know it. He doesn't sound like it, but no, he's from Newcastle. But, yeah, I do know that song, so no Googling required. But I'm not sure if I can do a rendering of it.
But when you listen to it, you think, oh, man, that is a... If you listen to it with no context, that you think, oh, there's one of those Johnny Cash songs he wrote in 1968. Like, cutting to the bone.
Off that same album,
it's 1996 song by Sting. My goodness.
Here's another... This is also going to blow your mind. He actually had a hit, Johnny Cash, for that same album where he did a whole bunch of covers, where he Johnny Cashed the shit out of some, you know, sort of fairly new songs. He had that great song, which you probably heard, called Hurt. That was the big hit off that album. And I thought, what a great song. That is so Johnny Cash. It's like him in a nutshell. The clip is just so... It's because it was like his eulogy that he sang for himself in a way, you know. But it turns out it's by Nine Inch Nails.
You know, right. I think Trent Reznor.
He wrote, yeah, exactly. And when I heard the original...
Thank you, Wikipedia.
Thank you. You cheated. Yeah, but...
Got him.
But, like, you know, I went back and heard the original. It's a piece of shit. But, yeah, it's like... That's you know how they say sometimes a cover's not as good? Well, there's a few covers. Here's a good example. Mad World. Everyone remembers that song from a few years back. It's a Tears for Fears song originally, but some guy did a version of it. It was on the Donnie Darko soundtrack, and it was a big sort of cult hit. And everyone loved that song. When you go back and listen to the original, it's by Tears for Fears. It's not that great, to be honest. Same with a song by Jose Gonzalez called Heartbeats. I hope dear listeners write these down and Google them later. Jose Gonzalez had like this absolute smash hit about 10 years ago called Heartbeats. But it's a cover. And when you hear the original, it's like, this is rubbish, you know. I'm so glad. Yeah. So sometimes songs are worth a cover, you know. And Hurt by Johnny Cash, written by Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails, was an absolute cracker of a song. I might even do a bit of it for you, dear listener.
Please do.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, that old familiar stain. Try to kill it all the way, but I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt, and I will let you down, and I will make you hurt.
Yeah.
Wow. It's like the feel-good song of the summer.
I know. It's like, you know, he was addicted to heroin, and so was Trent Reznor, so wow, you know. To see an old guy like that talk about his heroin addiction and sing it a song, you gotta see the film clip. If you don't shed a tear, you're not human.
I just did Google some shit.
Really? And while I was talking? You weren't listening to a word I was saying while I was singing. What a betrayal.
Well, what, you know, this is podcast 32. You know, it's like a marriage. Sometimes these things are going to happen. I can't be switched on all the time. Bloody blah.
Right.
You know what the therapist said.
Well, just as long as you bring it at home to me.
Anyway, let's go through top five cover versions as according to the well-respected UK broadsheet, The Guardian.
Ooh, okay.
Left-leaning.
Right.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
So I don't expect any right-wing songs to be in here.
No.
Five, Jeff Buckley song. What's your guess?
Oh, well, it's got to be Hallelujah, the Leonard Cohen
song. Hallelujah.
I agree with that. That song was a good song, taken to another level. So, tick, yes.
So who did the original?
Leonard Cohen, who kind of has that sort of Johnny Cash, very low, almost speaking voice. So, Hallelujah.
And what did Jeff Buckley do to the song, which made it better?
Jeff Buckley has got a voice like a choir boy on, you know, steroids. That's probably not a great picture to paint in someone's mind. But, you know...
Like, if it was a choir boy, who gave him those steroids?
He's got a... I think you could probably guess. Anyway, let's not go there. that hornet's nest. No, he has a... You know Jeff Buckley. He's got that soaring high voice that just... so much crazy vocal control. And he turned that song into an absolute weeper. You know, just very, very good. Excellent cover version. Yes, next. Approve. I agree with that, Guardian UK.
Well, the next one might surprise you, so let's test your musical knowledge, because this is a surprise to me.
Okay.
The surprise is this song by Jimi Hendrix is a cover.
Mm-hmm.
So I need your answer in the form of a question.
Well, I do know this. I know the original was by Bob Dylan. You're referring to All Along the Watchtower.
All Along the Watchtower. Okay, Bob Dylan, that does make sense. Let's ring a small bell. Ding!
Yes, yeah, so the original, you can imagine, one of the early Bob Dylan songs, it's very Bob. And
very mumbled.
Yeah, very much so. And Jimi Hendrix because this is when he first sort of started to break out, so his guitar playing was just off the charts as it was. So, yeah, he, absolutely great, amazing version of that song.
You said this is when he started to break out, so his guitar playing was off the charts.
Mm-hmm.
Did his guitar playing go off the charts under the charts?
Well,
after he started?
Well, I don't want to get all technical on you here, Kelso, but no one really played guitar like that. Not with that kind of, there was a lot of technical, you know, the finger dexterity wasn't anything new, but the noises and the sounds he was getting out of that electric guitar were revolutionary, and he just happened to do it with a Bob Dylan song, so it was match made in heaven. So, tick, again.
No, my question was, did amazing guitar on that song early on his career. It didn't drop off, did it?
No. Well, he wasn't alive for very long. yeah. Yeah, I know, right? Ooh, yeah.
Do you think old Jimmy was doing finger strengthening exercises?
Yeah, he was a hit with the ladies. No joke, hit with the ladies.
Number three.
Yeah, sorry.
Number three.
Yeah.
The Stranglers. Does that ring a bell with you?
Yeah, I know them, yeah.
The band The Stranglers. The song is Walk On By.
They did a cover of that. I didn't know that. I would have thought the original was... Okay, so I disagree with that. I think the original by Dionne Warwick would be hard to top. I might have to Google that later, but...
Walk On By...
Yeah, I was going to do a little burst for you and the deal.
Oh, well, okay. I'll let you do it.
If you see me walking down the street and I start to cry each time we meet, walk on by. Walk on by, make believe that you don't see the tears. You let me grieve in private, 'cause each time I see you, I break down and cry. Walk on by, walk on by.
You know what, I think my version should be coming in at number three on the Guardian's
I was tearing up like one of those your French girls. That actually, that really affected me.
Right.
I don't think I've ever listened to the lyrics before.
Yeah, what's his name? Hal David, who was Burt Bacharach's lyricist, was a fantastic lyricist.
Where does he come into the picture?
What do you mean? Hal David?
Yeah, well, you were just talking, Dionne Warwick did the original.
Oh, well, the thing is, they're songwriters. I mean, Burt Bacharach sort of performs his own songs, but they're not performers. They're
right.
Like a
so
songwriting
Burt Bacharach
king.
Wrote the music, and that other dude wrote the lyrics, and then Dionne Warwick sang it, and then later on the Stranglers covered it, and then much, much, much later our podcast talked about it.
Yeah, pretty much. That's the timeline. I know the Stranglers, and I have a feeling that the Stranglers probably strangled that song, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, they got to number three above Jimi Hendrix.
Well, here we go. Just so you know who the Stranglers are, they do that song, Golden Brown, Texture Like Sun. You know that one?
Right, okay.
Yeah, that's them.
So we're talking, they're an old band as well, I'm assuming.
80s, yeah, 80s.
Oh, 80s.
Hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
But I'll give it a listen. I'm not sure it could be the top three, though. Anyway.
That's amazing. Anyway, number two is Johnny Cash Hurt, as we'd already mentioned.
Oh, well, yeah.
And then number one is a Pet Shop Boys cover.
Right.
I mean, the Pet Shop Boys covered a song, not a cover of a Pet Shop Boys song.
Yeah. And it is.
Any idea what it might be?
Well, I have someone. I'm not sure, because they covered a few songs. Do I get a clue?
Yes. You know how you're always thinking about me? How I'm always on your mind?
Oh, okay.
I
still
no idea.
Well, no, I do. I'm going to respond musically.
Bring.
Maybe I never loved you.
You haven't.
Quite as often as I should.
More often would have been nice.
Maybe I never held you quite as good as I could have. Little things I could have said and done. I'm so sorry that I lied. But you were always on my mind. You were always on my mind. Oh, yeah.
I wish you wouldn't wait till these musical inserts in our podcast to tell me how you really feel.
Well, sometimes it's best put to music, you know.
Encoded.
Now, here's something interesting. I do know that's an Elvis song. I'm pretty sure he made that hit. But am I right in saying, you might have the info in front of you, did Willie Nelson write that song?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
Mm-hmm.
And to answer that question, I will tell you in 1 second.
As soon as... Can't hear the keys mashing. Right, no?
No, that was all mouse work. That was a song by Johnny Christopher, Mark James and Wayne Carson.
Right.
No mention of anyone else. It did originally chart in country and western categories. Hang on, here we go.
Right.
Willie Nelson's Grammy Award-winning version in 1982.
Really? Oh, so that was after the Elvis one. Right, okay.
Yeah, oh, here we go.
That's why it sounds like this. Ready?
Well,
maybe I never loved you quite as good as I should have. Maybe I never held you.
Now do it as if Willie Nelson was stoned. Oh, that's exactly
that's what happened. Yeah.
All right, so it was released by Brenda Lee in 1972. Then it was covered by
Elvis Presley
in 72 as well, which is weird.
Well, he was not a known for his songwriting, so he was a prolific coverer.
Right. I think that used to happen. Like, if you released a song through an artist and it didn't chart, and you thought it was a good song, you just like re-release it through another artist.
And Elvis says, "Yeah, right? I think I could do a pretty good version of that song. Give it on over." Maybe I never listened to it. Quiet as often as I feel. Well, thank you very much.
So Elvis Presley in the same year as the original. Then John Wesley Riles, never heard of him, in 1979.
Top bloke, though.
Willie Nelson.
Right.
You know that guy?
No,
John Wesley Riles?
No, I don't. No, no.
Willie Nelson in 1982 and the Pet Shop Boys in 1987.
What was his name? John what?
John Wesley Riles, R-Y-L-E-S.
Yeah, I've never had a friend that's had three names in my life. Never had a friend. Never.
Listen out.
Well, I don't live in America. That's probably why.
I don't think Junior counts.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the third.
I wish I had, like, a friend like, you know, Stevie Ray Vaughan. Yeah, I'll give that, you know.
Yeah, when you say, you're not including the surname, because I went to school with a couple of Van Dykes and Van Diemens and that type of thing.
No, I mean, like, someone that has, I don't know if it's two first names or they've got two last names. It's hard to tell. I think it's...
What about there's that name, St. John? Have you ever heard of that before?
St. John, as in St. John. Yeah, that's a great name.
Yeah.
I remember there was a British rugby league player that came out and played a few seasons here in Australia, St. John Ellis.
Who
can forget him?
But it took me 10 or 15 years before I realised that the name St. John and St. John were the same. That's another leatherhead.
Well, I knew that because they flashed it up on the screen when I was watching TV.
You learn so many things.
Another try from St. John Ellis. And they'd flash his name up.
All right, do you want to have a stab? I've got a list here of 50 from The Guardian. Do you want to have a stab at another song that you think might appear there? In the previous podcast, we've talked about Joe Cocker's with A Little Help My Friends, number 7.
Oh, that's up there. Oh, yeah, that's up there. Well, let's focus on maybe the rest of that top 10.
All right.
Well,
I'm going to start at 11, actually.
Oh, okay, turning it up to 11. Nice one, Kelso.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about 7, so I need to add on one.
Right.
Marvin Gaye, what would... Can you guess what that might be?
As in, he did a cover.
He covered someone?
He covered someone. Oh, wow. Mm. Okay.
Yeah. Some of these might get technical because if you're talking about, like, all the writers that wrote for Motown and that type of stuff, they probably did that thing I was talking about where someone released it, didn't go as well as they thought. Let's have someone else release it.
Well, I
heard it through the grapevine.
Oh, that's a cover. No, I did not know that. See, well, okay, that's probably the first curly one.
It might be a technical
one.
Technicality to
Well, that's probably the first curly one, because in the top five, the original was definitely a known song. You know what I mean? Mm. Even though, like, Brenda Lee brought out, that was on my mind. At least the Elvis version was, like, you know, I guess, you know, besides the Pet Shop Boys.
It was, as I described, the Gladys Knight released it in 1967, and then... good old our mate, your friend and mine, Marvin Gaye, released it the next year.
Wow. Well, that goes to show how much of a version his was. It completely blew Gladys Knight the pips off the map. I had no idea that she even had a version of that.
Yeah. No one blows Gladys Knight.
I tell you what, it gave Gladys the pips.
She's still mad about
it. Still furious.
Now, here's a song, number 10, which when I first heard as a young man... I remember telling my cousin that song is going to be number one. It's by Whitney Houston.
I do know this. I do know this song.
Yeah.
This Parton. Is I Will Always Love You, by Dolly Parton. Who I've got to say, even though Whitney gives it the full tilt, lung-wise, you know, the Dolly Parton...
She does not hold back on the lungs.
She doesn't. She gives it, like, every little bit. But Dolly's version, the original version, because she actually wrote that song and sang it originally.
I reckon a lot of dear listeners wouldn't be aware of the original Dolly song, so can you Dolly it up for us?
Well, knowing that Dolly has had a bit of a hard life, you know, and when you hear her sing it, it makes a lot more sense. You know, I saw her in concert about 10 years ago, and...
no way.
Absolute ripping concert. She really knows how to put on a show.
I do have great respect for Dolly.
Yeah, she did really.
As I call her.
And she talk about covers. She did a heap of covers. She did like Walking on Sunshine. She did like, a lot of sort of what I would call still for, you know, recent-ish covers, you know, even though that song came in like 1986, but you know, that kind of thing. But a bluegrass version of it, you know, of course. But she's a fantastic singer, a great, you know, she can play a few instruments, you know. I think she got out the banjo at one point, you know. She's very talented, very underrated.
She's got a theme park, for goodness sakes.
When I was growing up, all that I knew about Dolly Parton were her massive tits. That's all anyone could talk about, you know. And she was obviously a lot
more. The weird thing is, when I was growing up, I knew Dolly Parton had massive tits, but I'd never seen a photo of her or knew who she was. All I knew was there was a lady out there somewhere called Dolly Parton who had massive tits.
Yeah, she was the yardstick for massive tits. in my childhood. Yeah.
All right, let's hear some Dolly.
Okay, so what was the song again?
Well, it's I Will Always Love You, but I'm kind of tempted to hear 9 to 5 now.
Well, I don't know that one. I do know this one, though.
Baby, when I met you, there was peace unknown. I said I'd have to get you with a fine tooth comb. It was lost inside. There was something going on. You do something to me that I can't explain. Hold me closer and I feel no pain. Every beat of my heart, there was something going on. Tender love is blind. It requires an education. All this love we feel needs no complication. We ride it together, making love with each other, Islands in the stream, that is what we are. No one in between. How can we be wrong? Sail away with me to another world, and we rely on each other, From one brother to another,
Which in itself is a cover song, as you and I both know from their obsession with the Bee Gees' One Night Only. That's right. A Bee Gees song.
Did I notice that when you were singing the song, you did Dolly's lines and Kenny's lines in a slightly different voice?
I was trying to amalgamate Kenny and Dolly there because, yeah, the first verse is Kenny's, sure.
Okay. Oh, it was finesse.
Yeah, well, it was just a bit of artistic license there, yeah.
Sorry, did you say the first verse was Kenny?
The first verse is Kenny, and then
I thought it was the other way around.
No, it's Kenny first, and then the most bizarre key change in history, and then then Dolly takes over from there.
Surely the most bizarre key change in history is when my family went from a physical lock to electronic key cards at the old house.
Swipe card. Beep.
I don't get it.
Welcome, Mrs. Kelso.
Right, now, number 9 is a song I have never heard of unless I'm going mad.
Number 9.
Number nine is a song by Muse.
Yeah, okay, I know this. This is a controversial cover. You might have to remind me, because the thing is, it just triggered something in my
hippocampus.
Hippocampus. Thank you. You knew exactly where I was going. Thank you, Kelso. It triggered something in my hippocampus. And I know that everyone hates this. So remind me of the song.
It's called Feeling Good.
Yeah. It's a great old song. I think by Peggy Lee or someone like that. Some old, sort of 50s jazz singer. And look, I'm not a Muse fan. I'm going to lose a lot of friends by saying that, but Muse just don't do it for me. I am not amused, as the Queen would say.
One is not amused.
You know.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Well, I know you were amused by this lady with her stunning haircut, Sinead O'Connor.
Oh, Sinead. Yeah, I do like her. Yeah, got a thing for her.
And you know the song, written by Prince.
Written by Prince, nothing compares to you. It's an absolute tearjerker, as everyone knows, because she cried in the film clip. And I sing it, and it's one of those songs, when you actually sing the lyrics and you find yourself inside those lyrics, it's like, oh, the pain, you know.
Well, that's interesting. Does that happen often? Because I imagine
it
might.
Yeah, it does. There's a few songs that when I play, I kind of have to, like, take a breath when there's a, part coming up. I'll try not to cry. I'll show you the part. This is the thing that gets me. I get a shiver every time I sing the song, this part of the song. I'll skip to the bit.
For they could not love you, but still your love was true. And when no hope was left inside on that starry, starry night, you took your life as lovers often do. But I could have told you, Vincent, this world was never meant for one as beautiful as you.
Oh, what it. That's the one of the best, in my opinion, one of the greatest changes in a song. Vincent by McLean. Don McLean.
Mm. Once again, you're demonstrating to me and the dear listener that not only was Vincent van Gogh a Renaissance man, but you are indeed yourself.
Oh, thank you. Thank you
for the cap.
I think, yeah, why isn't my name in that goddamn list?
I might be updating it this very soon.
Yeah, send the podcast to the Guardian UK and rewrite that shit.
And then the final one, number six, because we jumped over Joe Cocker at number seven with a little help from my friends. Yeah. Number six is a Soft Cell song.
I do know that one. Yeah,
which reminds me of Alan Partridge for some reason.
That was Soft Cell. This is a song I didn't know was a cover until I heard the cover. Now, the original
Tainted Love.
Now, the original of this song is an absolute cracker, even though Soft Cell's version is great too. But the original is pretty good. It's very like funky and soulful, like Motown. It's very cool. So they're sort of maybe on par with each other as a song, as a version. But
originally recorded by Gloria Jones in 1964.
Yeah, 1964. Worth a listen. It's very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, is that the song about masturbation?
Well, I could tell you, I don't have a soft cell, you know what I'm saying?
Hello. Kerwin, I feel like the wind has changed. It's coming from a different direction. Mm. That normally indicates to me and the dear listener that it is time to stop the show. What do we do when we stop the show? You reel out a showstopper, not a showstopper.
A showstopper. Yeah, the winds have changed.
What does that exactly mean?
Well, you're right. The winds have changed. Let me lick my finger and put it in the air. Yeah. So we're
going to see a scorpion.
Take me to the magic of the moment in a glory night. That's the part where you're supposed to be glory night.
Yes, well, with the delay, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. Yeah, you're not allowed to sing along.
We found that on podcast two, I think.
Well, we explored some covers, and I think, Kelsey, we'll probably have to revisit this in a future podcast. I really enjoyed that. So as we do every podcast, we end the show with a showstopper. And we were talking about Joe Cocker earlier, because he came in at number seven with Get By With A Little Help With My Friends. And we were talking about Bucks Nights, weren't we? And which often end in a strip club.
Where is this going?
Yeah, I wonder, as I twirl my moustache. So here's my showstopper, Joe Cocker. Hold on to your hats. That's a bit of a clue. Raise your arms to the air.
days.
So just to make it clear, she can leave her hat on.
You can leave your hat on.
You can leave your hat on.
Why she was wearing a hat at a strip club in the first place, I don't know. But there you go.
Yeah, well, Annie's got a stripping experience, but...
Yeah, I'd have to say, if I was having sex with a girl and she wanted to leave her hat on, I'd be like, well, why? Weird.
Yeah, especially if it's like one of those bunny hats like the little kid wears in the Bob's Burgers. It'd be kind of weird.
What are the giant brimmed hats? Wouldn't they get in the way? Even a baseball cap would be...
Like a sombrero?
Yeah, exactly. Even a baseball cap would just be just so ungainly, you know what I mean? I don't know.
I can see a baseball hat.
Maybe backwards. Forwards. Yeah, get in the way.
Yeah. Backwards during doggy style. Yeah, that works.
Yeah, I can work that. You know, something to grab onto.
Tug on the brim, as they say.
Tug on the brim. That sounds like a... that in the Urban Dictionary. At some point. you haven't tugged on the brim. You haven't lived.
Now, I think Joe Cocker's partner there was a bit hard of hearing or needed to have things reinforced, because he did tell her to leave her hat on quite a few times.
He did, yeah.
Very repetitive. Make it clear. Leave your hat on. Well, you don't like your hair.
Well, Joe Cocker's not known for his enunciation, so maybe he had to say it a few times. What was that, Joe? You can leave your hat on. Sorry, one more time. Didn't catch that.
Well, that's all very well, Cohen, but that does leave our dear listener with one question.
Indeed it does, Kelso. What's all that about? We'll chat to you on the next episode. And don't forget, you can tweet us with any of your discussion ideas and showstoppers at podcastkak, and also email us at podcastkak@gmail.com.
Thank you very much for listening indeed. It really does mean a lot to both Kerwin and myself. Now, if you can, and you have one, please do tell a friend, as how we hope to grow this very show. And if you have time and you're not conceiving some child in a exotically named place, perhaps you could give us, I got there, you could give us a sweet 5-star review on your podcatcher of choice. Maybe afterwards when you're having a cigarette.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
<Ooh. laughs> Now take your hat off.
I'm just gonna stub it out now. Well, yeah. Till next
take
time.
Take your hat off, I said.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I just. Till next time.
Hello.
See you later.